Warning, the following podcast features bits, bants, japes, jokes, criticisms, and analysis of some of the dumbest pop culture from the 2000s decade by total amateurs under absolutely no supervision. Accordingly, the creators and co-hosts of Remember Shuffle must insist that no professional podcasters attempt to recreate, reenact, or improve any comedic activity attempted on this pod.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and
we sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice.
It's Britney, bitch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Ow, Charlie!
Our next door neighbors are foreign countries.
I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers.
Thank you.
Now watch this drive.
Today, we are discussing Jackass. Jackass was a reality TV prank and stunt show that ran on MTV for three seasons in the early 2000s and spawned a whole host of spin-off series throughout the decade. It combined the gross-out factor we would later see in stuff like Fear Factor, the pranks on the public we would later see in Sacha Baron Cohen's works, extreme sports highlight reels, skateboard bail videos, all with a healthy dose of heavy slapstick humor. If you haven't seen it, maybe the best way to describe it is just by naming some of the stunts that they do and letting your mind fill in the gaps. Stilt boxing, rocket skates, the bikini, as in bumblebees, urban kayaking, and wasabi snooters.
Slapstick humor, I think, is like the most constant universal form of comedy. Ben, you mentioned there are physical pratfalls in ancient Greece.
Ancient Greece and Rome. Yeah, the Roman comedy, they would like have these big roll-upable fake phalluses. And so you would unroll them and you would like smack someone with a big fake like fabric penis.
Which would fit in a Jackass movie just as easily.
Yeah.
And so because it's like universal and constant over time, I think what can be very telling about Jackass is the medium that we get to experience it through, right? You know, in the same way that vaudeville can tell you something about saloon and immigrant humor of the late 19th century, or the way that like America's Funniest Home Videos is literally presented by a man in a suit. Mm-hmm. Like that says something about the formality of the 80s. Jackass informs us of the era because it's reality TV. It's a small cable network. The lack of any formality, like the Gen X nihilism in the show, the deliberate doing of shit for fame, like to be a celebrity, like offering some kind of blood sacrifice to be a celebrity, which is everywhere now.
Yeah.
There's a Mel Brooks quote that tragedy is when I prick my finger and comedy is when you fall into a sewer grate and die. And I think that Jackass really illustrates what's so appealing about watching others suffer. You know, it's the idea of imagining it happening to you, but it's not happening to you. And one thing I noticed watching all these movies is what you really want to see in these stunts is not the act that they're doing. It's the person's reaction of pain. Because if someone were to stoically get shot with a beanbag gun or stoically drink horse cum, it really doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
It's the suffering of the participant, you know, writhing on the floor or yelling in pain. Like that's the sizzle that you really want.
And it's in combination with the rest of the Jackass crew watching, right? And cackling like hyenas around it.
Actually, when the guy drank the horse cum, he's not screaming in disgust. He's actually just silent, but he was suffering in a way that he like articulated. He was just sort of like staring off into the distances and saying, I'm really ashamed of myself. Really just ashamed of myself.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And once he articulated that pain, I just like couldn't stop laughing because that's what I want to see. I, for some like sick reason, I it's the schadenfreude of seeing someone else suffer.
Yeah. And having it not happen to you.
Same thing with someone was eating horse shit in one episode and I wasn't really laughing because he's sort of trying to just get through it stoically. And then at halfway, he sort of gives up and goes, it's so dry. And again, like I need the imagery of why this is hard for you to really find it funny.
Yeah. There's an episode. I mean, you can cut this because it's just another example of the phenomenon you described, but there's an episode of Wild Boys, the one where they're in Alaska. They're at a salmon spawning pool and there's a male and a female salmon who have each died. And they're like, sadly, these salmon didn't fulfill their destiny. So Chris Pontius picks up a dead lady salmon, cuts it open and squeezes the eggs into Steve-O's mouth then picks up a dude salmon cut and squeezes like fish jizz all over Steve-O's face and into his mouth. And Steve-O, like consummate professional clown performer, is like, I did it for science, okay? I did it for science. And then you hear the people filming it in the background be like, we need another shot. And they do it again. And just like the resigned disappointment of Steve-O being like, I guess we're doing it again for continuity or whatever.
I was laughing at the idea that because all you really want to see is Steve-O's suffering, like this is why you can have slapstick humor in a cartoon where it's like, you know, no one's suffering, but Homer Simpson yelling and falling down a cliff is still funny.
Actually,
you know?
No, we gotta introduce ourselves. We forget every time.
Okay.
Then we'll do a cold open later. So it's like, hello. No, I can't do it. I'm not prepared.
This is Giordano and this is introducing yourself for a podcast.
Yes, there it is.
I'm Giordano. This is Ben. We have a special guest, Allison.
No, I need Hello. To say that I'm Ben so that they can identify my voice.
Okay.
I think
we crushed right.
I
it.
Think they'll know.
This is a bail video.
Yeah.
Allison, we thought it'd be great to have you on because, apparently you're a hardcore fan.
What made you choose the Jackass pod episode to come on?
I was obsessed with Jackass when it was out. And, I mean, Johnny Knoxville was probably one of my biggest celebrity crushes for sure.
Hell yeah.
He's the cutest, right? I think. Bam was very cute, I think. Like, obviously, in the first era.
Oh, gosh. Have you guys seen Bam lately?
Oof. Maron.
Poor Bam. Bam's had a tough go. Like, all of these guys, there's, like, a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of rehab and other things. Like, it's been, but I think Bam seemed to have had a particularly rough go, and it shows. Mm-hmm. Also, Bam, when I was like 12 or 13, I was like, I'm a skateboarder. I'm such an uncoordinated person, but I wanted so badly. I bought a skateboard and it was pink and it had the Bam Margera. It was like a Bam skateboard. Mm-hmm. It was the, what's the, there's like the little symbol, the like the, it's like a pentagram, a heartogram. Is that what they called it?
Yes.
It might have been that like he worked with Element and they made the boards. Mm. But I mean, I guess it would have been cool to be able to skateboard, but I think I was mostly just into the aesthetic and thought that those guys were super cool. And I mean, back when I was that age, I was like, really wanted to like not be like the other girls. Like I skateboard. I didn't. I maybe stood on it three times. scared of falling.
Yeah. Skateboarding has a very cool aesthetic. Any sport that has an accent, like to the way you speak, is awesome.
Yeah.
What's the skateboard accent sound like?
I don't, you know what? Sadly, I haven't spent enough time around skaters. I'm a poser. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's just a SoCal accent, dude. Like surfer, skateboarder, stoner, they're all in the same kind of like semantic field.
I would imagine a skater sounds like Steve-O, like kind of what Steve-O sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's like gravelly also. Okay. Did you guys watch the CKY videos from whence Jackass was born?
No. Did you?
Oh, yeah. It was you know what it is, though.
Yeah, Bam's Can't Kill Yourself, like stunt videos, yeah. Right?
So there was like a couple of them, and the one that I had, it was like a bootleg VHS that my friend recorded off of their VHS, and it was more skateboard tricks than anything, but there were some pranks and then a lot of just dicking around and them being funny, and it's a lot of the Bam crew.
So you actually had a bootleg VHS of the Can't Kill Yourself videos.
Oh yeah, like I was super into it, and it was like probably around the time that Jackass was starting, because that was in 2000.
Yeah.
And then I also had a bootleg Steve-O video, which was gnarly. Mm-hmm. Like, because it was just Steve-O, and he, you know, none of these guys had any regard for their physical safety, but none so much as Steve-O.
Yeah, the wildest thing about Steve-O is, like, I watched this 49-minute documentary on him, and, like, as you alluded to, Allison, like, shockingly, these guys' lives behind the scenes are very dark and sad. The guys who, like, put their bodies on the line for D-list celebrity and $1,500. but he I think joining the Jackass crew actually had a moderating effect on Steve-O. As I'm watching those early videos, I'm like, stop lighting yourself on fire, please.
you know what, you're probably right about, and he's sober, he's vegan, he seems to be doing really well now. And I can definitely see if he didn't like have like a kind of a, not exactly, but like a safe space to be doing this stuff, his story might have ended quite differently.
Yeah, like I also watched a Steve-O stand-up special where he said in order to fight his sex addiction, he did not masturbate for an entire year. And Johnny Knoxville, the concerned father figure to Steve-O, was like, are you trying to get prostate cancer?
Yeah.
So fun.
I can't believe you have that. Like, that VHS is definitely like your badge of authenticity, that you're a real Jackass fan, having a CKY like burned VHS tape.
I had a CKY burned VHS tape, and there was some guy who did some silly freestyle in it, and I had like a burned mix CD, and that song was on it. Like, I used to know all the words. It definitely got a little racist at some point. They were talking about like Chinese food, and then you can kind of extrapolate from there where it might have gone.
Right.
I had those. I had the Steve-O bootleg tape, which had, do you guys know what the butterfly trick is?
No.
So what's the censorship level on this podcast? It's nothing,
there
right?
There is none. Yeah, just don't say, okay, don't, great. Don't say the N-word.
That's yeah.
The rule. I'm out of here. So the butterfly trick, which he did more than once, and I believe that one time it got him arrested for like indecent exposure or whatever, is where he takes his nutsack and like stretches it out and with a staple gun affixes it to his inner thighs to make a butterfly.
This is Steve-O, right?
This is Steve-O, and this was on the bootleg Steve-O tape with a lot of other stuff, because it's like I don't know if you could buy it in a store or if it just went around, so it definitely wasn't beholden to any, you know, censorship laws or anything like that. I had a sick Hot Topic t-shirt also with Johnny Knoxville with the like baby alligator on his nipple. You know,
man,
that one?
Their branding looks cool. The skull and crossbones, but it's two crutches underneath.
Totally.
Yeah. If you were a 13-year-old in the early 2000s, you're like, man, I want to be a stuntman. And that is a real career path that you need to respect, mom and dad.
Okay. So I was doing some research. I didn't get all the way to it, but from where I'm standing, what it looks like is there's the CKY crew, and they did mostly skateboarding, and they did some stunts and stuff like that. And I don't know at what point they met up with Johnny Knoxville, but Johnny Knoxville studied at the American Academy of Dramatic Art in New York, which is like a pretty reputable acting school. Couldn't get any work acting, had a child at a young age, and was like, I gotta support this kid, and then just started beating the shit out of himself and trying to sell it to people.
Yeah, no, I love the story of how the Jackass gang got together, because the Johnny Knoxville angle is interesting, because one of the first things that kind of went viral for him was a video of him testing self-defense gear on himself.
Yeah.
Because I guess, yeah, like you said, he had some kind of formal training, as opposed to the Camp Kill Yourself guys, who were just, you know, literally teenage skaters. Johnny Knoxville, the leader, he initially like was a big fan of Hunter S. Thompson and like gonzo journalism, and he was going to show that this self-defense gear kills. And he still in interviews says pepper spray is one of the most painful things he's ever experienced. And then he joins this super group, and it becomes just totally apolitical, which we could talk about later in terms of like linking it to the decade. But they don't really try and make any political points. It's just like juvenile pranks and bails and trying to look cool trying to look cool and failing.
Yeah. I see them as modern day clowns. You know, every culture and time period, you know, Canada has Cirque du Soleil, France has mime, Germany has nothing because humor is forbidden there. But America has the Jackass crew. And this is the closest.
It's classic slapstick. Steve-O went to clown college.
Yes, yeah. I love this. Statistically harder to get into than Princeton, to the Barnum and Bailey Ringley Brothers Clown College.
You know what? It's easy to make fun of the concept of clown college, but as like a comedy performer, anybody that had come up against that, or not like against, but like been around who has clown training, some of the funniest people that I've ever seen.
Steve-O in stand-up special, Steve-O balances a full ladder on his chin and like puts his arms out and just has one corner of the ladder on his chin, like an early 20th century circus clown. And I just asked myself, like, man, you had this amazing skill and you got famous for stapling your ass cheeks shut. Like, the world is not fair. The world does not reward actual actual talent.
Right. That's a big theme in all of this, is what they're offering to the world is pain. And so it is ironic that he can do this physically impressive stunt, and that's not what you want on a bootleg VHS. Like, what you want is someone stapling their balls to their leg. You want that blood sacrifice. That's what's entertaining to you.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really want that ball trick.
You don't think you do.
No, and even after I saw it, I mean, I struggled to watch some of the bit. Okay, so I watched a Jackass with my friend last night for research, but like a lot of Jackass we watched. Oh God, Steve-O and the dry heaving. That was his. I mean, it's cute. They all have like their little like niche that they do, and Steve-O did a lot. Poor Steve-O's ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Yeah, I saw a clip from a late season of Wild Boys, which is a Jackass spinoff. But they're training with Russian cosmonauts. They go in a giant 747 that goes way up really high, and then it goes down so that you're in zero G gravity. And Jeff Tremaine, the director, producer type guy, was like, I know Steve-O's going to puke. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to look cool. And the cosmonauts told him, if you puke in the bag, because if you puke in zero G, it's going to just splatter everywhere. And Jeff Tremaine's like, no, do not puke in that bag. We need this shot. And sure enough, it's like Steve-O immediately vomits all over the fucking 747. That's his role. He's the weak-stomached guy, and they make him do a lot of the eating skits.
Yeah. Before we start talking about stunts, let me talk a little bit about the typology of stunts, because I think it'll give us a good lens in which to look at the stunt. Okay, so I like to think of the stunts according to like what part of the brain is tortured, and they do a good job of skipping between different ones. And so, I mean, the first one is obviously pain, right? It's like the primal physical punishment of having a beanbag shot at you or stapling your nuts to your leg or something. And then the second type, which is very common, is shame, which is like the societal humiliation of like wearing a thong in public or like taking a shit at the hardware store.
He loved wearing a thong in public.
Well, Chris Pontius is the shame guy. He's the one that doesn't seem to suffer any ego hits from almost anything. And so he's generally put up to those. The third one.
They definitely made Preston and Wee Man do a lot of shame stuff.
That's true. Yeah. The third one is fear, which is like the emotional distress from having a phobia of snakes and being locked in a room with a cobra.
Or when Steve-O has to tightrope walk over an alligator pit, right?
Yeah. Or having a bunch of fireworks go off in your bedroom at night, right? Like, you're not in any physical pain, you're not being put through any real shame, but you're experiencing fear. The fourth is masochism, which is the unease you feel from inflicting pain on innocent people. And so like Spike Jones in the old lady costume and Jackass 2. And then the fifth is disgust. So it's like the unsettling feeling that comes from having poor hygiene, essentially.
Yeah, from filling a porta potty with poop and then going inside of it and having it turned upside down on top of you.
Yeah. So that, you know, there's a primal response in your brain to the idea that you might be in an unclean situation that could give you a disease or something.
Yeah.
And I think that they do a good job of it's like a color wheel. You can kind of, you put these together, like when the guy is forced to drink horse cum, you know, that's a combination of disgust and shame, right? There's societal humiliation associated with drinking a fucking mug full of horse cum.
They do it again in a different Jackass. They do it with a different animal's ejaculate. I'm going to be fancy. I'm going to use a fancy word.
I wanted to know how Steve-O connected to him, and I got to know how Spike Jones became attached, because this was after being John Malkovich.
Yep. This was something I thought about in choosing this topic, which is like, do we really need to revisit this piece of very juvenile pop culture? And I was like, you know what? Don't be a snob. If Jackass is good enough for Oscar award winning director Spike Jones, good enough for you.
Yeah. Well, Spike Jones got involved because he was a skateboarder and took skateboarding videos of a lot of these people in the early 90s.
Oh.
And so he got his start as a filmmaker taking skate videos and eventually started doing professional skateboarders for magazines. And apparently magazines used to send you a videotape with them of like tricks and stuff like that. And he started doing music videos that involved skateboarding and then eventually got into like real film. But that's how he knew a lot of these people. Steve-O got involved because Jeff Tremaine was assembling this crew. And
I'm imagining like the beginning of a heist movie.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
This guy's crazy, man.
Yeah. All right, we got almost everyone we need. We just need a clown. The only thing we're missing.
they really assembled people from all over the country. Like, it's wild how, you know, Johnny Knoxville's from like the Midwest/South, Steve-O's from Florida, Bam's from the Mid-Atlantic, and the rest of them are from California. And it's like, they really just picked all the most like degenerate people from across our beautiful country here. And
a crack team.
You really could give them all like a heist nickname. It's like Johnny Knoxville is the Clooney, obviously. Steve-O is the clown. Bam is the skater. Chris Pontius is the penis. That's mostly his role, is to be the guy with the big dick. We, you know, the fat guy and the little guy, they go together.
Right.
Yeah, that's six. I don't know if I can name all of the Jackass crew, but that's most.
There's Dave England.
Oh yeah.
And
let's just get into the crew then. Why don't we
do that? Sorry.
Okay. So, yeah, let's just talk about like the main one. So Johnny Knoxville, you know, Ben has discussed, he's the George Clooney of the crew. He also probably made the most money from the series. We'll get into like the money issues later, but I will give him credit. He is the leader, but he also, like, it's not like he uses that status to get out of doing the most dangerous stunts. Like, he tends I have to respect the fact that he also does take like probably some of the most damage on the show.
Yeah. He just got a brain hemorrhage.
Yeah, he gets gored by a bull in like every movie. He's the bull guy.
Yeah.
He's good at like, because he doesn't do a lot of stunts, like the, like when he's like throwing his body down something, but he does, it looked to me like a lot of passive paint. I was just watching him. I guess he didn't shock his balls. Hold on. I wrote down some of the stunts. He gets
launched off a rocket in a few of them.
Yeah.
Let them beat the shit out of him for sure.
Yeah, because he can't skate. And he says that in like Jackass 1. He's like, everyone assumes I'm a skater because of who I roll with. So he can't do any of like the skating adjacent thing. So yeah, he gets shot out of a rocket. He gets shot with a beanbag gun in one of them. And he loves getting attacked by bulls. And yeah, as Giordano mentioned, Johnny Knoxville, like, very handsome guy.
Oh God, so hot.
He has an aesthetic. he always wears Converse and he always wears sunglasses. So he has his own little aesthetic that he rocks.
Yeah,
the
like sweat, the wristbands.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was so into it. I'm still into it.
Have you seen, what's your view of his look now that he's all gray? He stopped dyeing his hair.
Got hotter.
Yeah, Silver Fox.
As a lot of men, I was just looking it up and I was like, oh, damn.
Would you fuck Johnny Knoxville as Bad Grandpa?
I don't think I could.
No. It's still him, but yeah, he's in the makeup and everything.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move on to, I think it was like my favorite member of the gang, which is Bam Margera. I say that one because he's Italian, and two, because I think that I just love like the Mid-Atlantic accent and how sort of trashy everyone from like his.
His little like close to Philly accent.
The like sweet intimacy between him and his parents too is very nice. Like,
Phil and April is so sweet and she's so chill and she's almost like she's actually upset but she's kind of fake mad about, you know.
What do you say after, yeah, it's been probably like 10 years of like
what he's doing. And Phil, I mean, they just take it in stride.
Come on, Bam, I got work in the morning. Come on, Bam.
I watched one where, I mean, they are kind of clever and poetic about it. Bam takes a pie that Phil made, takes it out of the house, and then like goes through the front door and rushes him, obviously throws it at his face, and he goes, and I quote, I wrote it down, he goes, a pie that you made, lemon meringue, you fat bitch. To which Phil replies, what are you, a jerk? and then he starts pulling out more pies and throwing them at his dad. And April's like, another pie? And Phil goes, it doesn't make any sense.
Yep. Yeah, no, Bam Margera is just the worst child on earth. And like, as you said, like his parents are nice people. And it's one of the strangest aspects of Jackass, because it's like, why is this teenager here? Why is this child here who is literally still in high school? And why are we enabling him to torture his parents for our enjoyment? But two of my biggest laughs in the first Jackass movie come from Bam's pranks on his parents. Because one, he's like, I'm going to get my sweet mom to swear, which he does by putting a live alligator in her house. Yep. And it takes her a while. It takes her like a long while to drop that F-bomb because she's such a nice lady.
Yeah. She goes, that's the scariest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
But the second biggest laugh for me is they do two like back-to-back pranks that's called like bedroom fireworks that Giordano alluded to. So they install like little night vision cameras in his parents' room, and at like 4:30 in the morning, fireworks go off. They're all shocked and scared and whatever, and you have a good laugh. Then they do it again with
five hours later
in Bam's dad's big work truck. So the fireworks are in the truck going off, making noise, scary people. More movie goes by, and we've established our expectations, and they set up just Phil, Bam's dad, taking a shit, and you're on the edge of your seat waiting for fireworks to go off in the background. But instead of an elaborate firework prank, this shitty teenager just comes in and beats the shit out of his old man. It's just slapping.
Just the slapping, where you're like... all over his big old naked body.
Yeah, not elaborate, not complicated, not anything like you're expecting. And yeah, I forget what Phil's reaction is, but it's something on the line. Come on, Bam.
Come on, Bam. Yeah, take a shit here.
Yeah.
So Bam Margera was not the first person to torture his parent. It was Tom Green. Did you ever watch his show?
Oof. No, Canadian National Treasure.
I'm pretty sure it was Tom Green. He painted his parents' house plaid.
That's awesome.
And he also built a statue depicting his parents engaged in domestic violence and put it on their front lawn. It was called the Where's My Dinner Bitch statue.
Jesus.
Tom Green's parents did not take it in stride. They did not think it was funny at all. So I would argue that the Margeras, if they didn't invent it, they perfected it.
Yeah, that's almost something that was invented in this era. For sure. It's like the idea, because like that's very popular on TikTok, is to like just fuck with your parents.
God, dude, little middle class entitled white kids just like have everything in the world. They're like, you know what I'm gonna do?
There's a prank on TikTok, which is just like in front of your mom, you just start taking plates out of the cupboard and smashing them. It's like,
yeah, see, this is what you should remember every time you read that depressing fact where it's like over half of millennials still live with their parents. It's like, okay, but factor out the shitty ones. Okay. It's like those ones don't count. They deserve to not have their own homes.
I mean, that particular brand of TikTok trend is just a scourge, and Jackass definitely paved the way for it.
Yeah, and you know what? We used to have a firewall. We used to leave it to the professionals, like the disclaimer said. But now we've democratized it. Now we're all jackasses.
Totally. I was watching in the movie All Their Bits in Japan, and I just kept thinking about Logan Paul.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
I heard about this.
Where it's like he grew up watching, like, oh, I'm just gonna like fuck with the general public. But I mean, Jackass did it better.
Let's should circle back to describing the crew.
Okay, so yeah, next up is Ryan Dunn.
Oh, R.I.P.
Yeah, which I guess it was only a matter of time before one of these guys like died, but maybe we don't have to talk about him. But
I guess we're actually lucky only one of them died. It could have been so much.
Yeah. Shocking it wasn't any, it like wasn't even during filming, right? Like filming these things, that's a controlled environment. But I mean, what can we say about Ryan Dunn as crew member? I don't really have any memorable, he's the one who shoved the dinky toy car up his ass that closed out Jackass 1.
That's a classic.
That's apparently a coveted spot in the movie. It's like you want to have whatever sketch ends up making it last, that means it was the best. And so a lot of them gunned to have that slot. And he got the first one.
Yeah.
Nice.
For a prank that Steve-O actually came up with. And so that usually gives you like the right of first refusal. Like you're allowed to do it. But Steve-O apparently was too afraid of the shame it would bring his family for that specific.
No.
Yeah, his dad said, I'll have to disown you if you do it, which is wild. Because he like does so much other dumb shit.
That's a lateral from every single thing. Is it just because of his butt stuff? He's like, no son of mine.
Yeah, light yourself on fire all you want, but do not put anything in your ass. Do not do any gay shit.
Merge yourself in human waste.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Steve-O is probably next, which we already kind of discussed. He said that he wanted to be the Van Gogh of being a dipshit.
I would say he succeeded,
He's often, I think, because he's like an acrobat of sorts, he's often put in a lot of the pranks that involved like where someone needs to be like walk a tightrope, mm-hmm. or to like skateboard or like something that requires some kind of physical dexterity. He's usually the guy they go with.
Anything with fire. He really likes fire.
I don't know if this might have been just in the Steve-O bootleg. Did you see or hear about, have you heard about this?
Have you heard about this, folks?
Steve-O snorted a line of red ant.
Oh. I think that might have been on Wild Boys, maybe.
Was it? I can't remember.
That's where a lot of the animal stuff is. And I was watching Wild Boys this morning, and it's fucking awesome.
I like that's two of the good ones.
Surprisingly educational. Steve-O and Chris Pontius doing a nature documentary.
Yeah. Incredible. Steve-O has an interesting story for sure.
Yeah, he talks because post-Jackass or post like Jackass 2 or whatever, he like struggled with drug addiction and went to rehab, intervention, the whole nine. In interviews, he has like a whole life philosophy now, and where Jackass fits into it, he has this whole philosophy where like human beings are defined by the fact that we know we're going to die. Like, this is the guy that's clearly been to therapy, and he says you can try and achieve immortality through one of three ways. It's like you can have children, you can believe in God, or you can try and achieve immortality through art. And he thinks that thanks to his clownery, he will never die. There will always be, he has achieved immortality through video.
Hmm. I mean, at least for us and our peers. I'd be interested to know if kids these days know Steve-O. Yeah.
Next up, I just wanted to give a Wee Man and Preston, which I kind of
even each get their own.
Well, I think that they're sort of just playing with the same thing with those two, which is like guy who's really big, guy who's really small. They also appear in a lot of the same pranks.
They also get dressed up a lot. They have the most costumes, those two. Although all of the Jackass crew engages in a lot of pageantry, a lot of costuming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chris Pontius, which, as we mentioned, he sort of does a lot of like the shame-based stunts often. And my theory here is that because he has such a big dick, he's essentially sort of immune to any other kind of shame because he feels so secure in himself that he's like, yeah, I can like drink horse cum. Or
his most famous bit has to have been Party Boy, which gave him an opportunity to make people uncomfortable and to display his massive hog.
Mm-hmm. He has a snake bite his penis in one of the stunts.
No.
Oh, not his massive
paws. He dresses his penis up like a mouse and then they put it in a snake enclosure. Okay, there's one other guy I just want to mention quickly because like I love the way that he experiences pain, and that's Dave Englund. I just find that he has like a very sympathetic face and
sweetie boy.
He seems to be like the most pathetic in some ways as possible. Let's talk a little bit about why this was important for the decade as a whole. What does it have to say about the 2000s?
I think even with a piece of pop culture this stupid of like dumb people doing pranks on each other and a little bit society, tease out a lot of interesting facts about the decade, I guess. Like, this was one of the first reality TV shows right as a time that was about to blow up to become most of the content that's on TV. Like, I think Survivor launches around the same time as Jackass in 2000. And one of the things that blows my mind is that there was a bidding war for this stupid show. It was MTV, Comedy Central, and Saturday Night Live were all bidding for the Jackass crew.
SNL only wanted Johnny.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they were going to give him like 5 minutes per show to do a little thing. And then very sweetly, Johnny said in an interview of that situation, "I bet on us over betting on myself."
Hell yeah, solidarity.
He's like, "I need my boys." I think MTV is a better fit than Lorne Michaels for Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, and I mean, this spawned so much content. It was three seasons on MTV, three Jackass movies, and then a whole bunch of spin-off shows. Like, this was popular, this very kind of low-budget, low-stakes.
Yeah, look at all the spin-offs you have listed here. Wild Boys, Dr. Steve-O, Viva La Bam, Bam's Unholy Union. You say here that Ryan Dunn has a spin-off for one season called Homewrecker.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's really telling about what was to come, which is a bunch of, I guess I'll call it like high or low concept reality TV shows with almost no budget that were going to have insane ratings, essentially.
Yeah, once networks realized they didn't have to hire writers, they just give a bunch of assholes money and let them do their thing and rake it in. Yeah.
So some of these shows, I don't even think the cast are paid. Like, if it's a contest style show, if it's like Fear Factor or something, like if it has the shape of a game show, they're certainly not getting paid an actor's salary, like an established actor's salary to appear on Fear Factor.
This is like the one type of thing from the 2000s, I think, that you can't get a gritty reboot out of, you know? Like, you can't have a gritty reboot that's like, I'm Johnny Knoxville and this is riding a shopping cart down a hill just to feel something.
Something in the way.
You know?
Do they do gritty reboots of reality shows?
Well, this was a movie. You know.
What's that?
This was a movie. This transcended the format of reality TV.
Yeah, one of the only reality TV shows to make it onto the silver screen, right? So, you know, chapeau to the Jackass crew. I think another interesting thing about what it says about the decade is gradually more and more people are going to start filming, right? It's a banal and obvious observation. We all are filming all the time now. We talked about pranks on TikTok. I think these guys kind of invent going viral. That's something that foreshadows what's to come, where before Jackass, you could maybe be an idiot on America's Funniest Home Videos, and you could maybe get 15 minutes of fame in competition with the cat videos and the cute kid videos. But Jackass actually became minor celebrities from being idiots and filming it. And now I feel like that's everyone. Everybody has a YouTube channel. One of my students in their final writing assignment included a YouTube link to their K-pop dance crew, Flash Mob dance crew. So they would go to big public places in New York and dance to K-pop. And this student put the link in their final paper. It was like, no such thing as bad press. And I used no identifying markers. I didn't say he or she. So we're good.
You know, people are like, I have a million followers on TikTok, right? And I'm like, don't like 70% of people on TikTok have a million followers? It's just, I don't know. Everyone's constantly watching each other and just doing, nobody's not recording themselves all the time.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the really interesting differences between then and now, where it's like, okay, here are some professional idiots. Here are some professional quote unquote stuntmen that I get to passively watch, and they're going to do all the crazy shit. And now I think we've just kind of met in the middle. So now like YouTube is filled with people doing cinnamon challenges or whatever. So it's like the stakes are lower. I don't think there's a lot of people on YouTube or TikTok that do what the Jackass crew do, but also more of us are doing it.
And it feels so contrived to me today. It's uninspired, and not that Jackass had some kind of lofty vibe to them, but it's very contrived. It's all these trends. Everybody's doing it over and over again, and they're very clearly doing it for the audience. And I realized so were the Jackass guys, but one of the things that I loved about it when I was watching it is like, this is just bros making each other giggle.
Yep.
Like they would have those little interstitials. It's like a 10 second bit.
Yes.
Of bam, biking into a porta potty, flopping down, cut.
Yep.
Next scene.
Yep.
It's just good, clean. It's just like, it's very base, but it's just like classic comedy kind of.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
No elaborate setup. No, I'm Johnny Knoxville and this is blank. Just like Steve-O jumping on a trampoline into a ceiling fan in his apartment. And I will say this, like if we were to do the Dungeons and Dragons morality chart, I think that Jackass is true chaotic good. I don't even put them in chaotic neutral. I say they're chaotic good.
I agree. Can I read a quote that Steve-O said about this is about Jackass today? All right, I'm just going to read it. If you're referring to cancel culture and all of that, I think it's a real point of pride that Jackass had always been in such a good spirit. There's never been anything hateful or mean-spirited about anything that we do. As hard of time as we give each other and ourselves, we're attention whores and we love it. We'll gladly take all the beatings that we take for the attention that we crave. Outside of that, there's nothing negative pointed towards anybody or anything. And then it goes on. But like, yeah, they weren't punching down. They were, you know, maybe had a bit of a freaking out, some squares vibe to it, where they would go out in public and try to like make people uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, these guys alleviate the guilt factor because, and I think that's why they very consciously cultivate this aura of like, we are dumb, we are morons. I don't think any of these guys are as dumb as they present themselves, but they present themselves as like, we're dumb, stupid skaters who are doing it for the attention, so you can feel less guilty at watching them put their bodies.
Yeah, I heard a story about Johnny Knoxville that he was so addicted to the idea of like getting a positive feedback from these stunts that at the end of filming Jackass 1, like they had finished filming. And so, but he just like, he needed the rush more. And so he would just run into the street and like run into stop signs and stuff like that.
Damn.
Because you want that reaction. Here's a count. So this next theme that I want to bring up is a counterpoint to Ben's idea that they're actually not that dumb. and that's the Jackass crew's just hilarious ineptness with money.
Yeah, this is where you get me. This is the checkmate move.
I already have a rebuttal.
Okay. Well, the whole movie, like, it should open with, like, hey, I'm Steve-O, and this is not having representation for a film deal. or having horrible representation for a film deal, because these guys, these movies basically were guaranteed money makers. All of them made like $60 to $100 million, no budget, and they get nothing in return. Jeff Tremaine and Johnny Knoxville really did them dirty, I think, in this regard. One of the reasons why Bam actually has a restraining order filed against him is because he made a public video saying this movie made $100 million and they paid poopies $30,000-$35,000, and like, you're telling me they can't pay him more than that? It is just an unfortunate capitalist part of this whole operation that the producers, you know, Jeff Tremaine and Johnny Knoxville, are pocketing the vast majority of the money.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you and I, we watched, this is like the impetus of this entire episode. We watched the first Jackass movie one night when we were too tired from work to watch something something highbrow. And we pulled up the budget. Like, the budget for the original Jackass film was $5 million. That's for everything. All the cameramen, all the equipment that they rented, that's going to Japan so that Pontius can party boy and make Japanese people uncomfortable. They did all that for $5 million. And like, you and I looked at each other, we're like, how much did they make for what they put their bodies?
I think that this is like an example of a Gen X failure, because I feel like Gen X people are very concerned with the idea of like selling out. And as a result,
especially in like skateboarding punky culture, they're like, I don't need you to be able to pay rent.
and they end up undermining their own financial interests.
Yeah,
they're not considering points on the back end.
Right.
Do you know what Steve-O got paid for the first season?
$1,500, right?
$1,500.
Yeah.
And then for the second, it was up to 32.
Okay.
Which, you know, good.
I mean, considering that after the second episode of the first season aired, Jackass became the highest rated Sunday night programming in MTV's history. Like, there was money. And I think that, Jeff Tremaine and Johnny Knoxville were just taking it all. Because these guys, just like, you want to be part of the crew. It's one of the reasons why they could get poopies to appear for $35,000 in the latest movie. It's like, this is a guy who idolizes the Jackass crew. He's going to do it for free just to be a part of it.
But poopies?
Good question.
In 2022's Jackass Forever, they bring in some new crew members, and they're all,
including a woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're all from like TikTok and Snapchat, and they're stunt people and prank people from social media.
Yeah, because they're all like in their 40s, it became difficult, I think, for a lot of them to do like the high pain stunts. And so they bring in some young blood to.
Yeah, no, they would have to. Johnny Knoxville was 28 in the first season, which is really on the cusp of when everything starts to hurt all the time, not as a stunt person.
Hi, I'm Johnny Knoxville, and this is Sleeping on Your Back a Little Bit Weird.
I'm not gonna say these guys are brilliant, and there definitely is a lot of press about how they just blew through their money, and you know, if they didn't get paid enough, that's definitely exploitation. I don't necessarily fault them for not having the wherewithal to maybe ask for more money than they were getting, but they were definitely blowing through their money.
Pratt Ball Union. We need to unify the Jackass
local 69420. Pratt Ball Union.
But, you know, you got to consider that a lot of their money was going to ketamine and cocaine and nitrous and all the other things that I read that Steve-O was regularly doing.
I know we shouldn't laugh at drug abuse, substance abuse is serious, et cetera, but when Steve-O said his favorite combination was cocaine and whippets, I couldn't help but laugh. Do they have rehab for whippets? Just people smuggling in whipped cream containers so the whippets rehab.
If the audience is interested in watching any Jackass content, like, strangely enough, the thing that I think you should watch the most is the MTV Cribs episode about the Jackass crew.
Yes.
Because to me,
love that show.
That painted probably the most accurate picture of the philosophy of the crew.
Living in a trap house?
Yeah, exactly. So Steve-O lives in like essentially like what would look like a college student's house with like three roommates. It's maybe 650 square feet, and like 200 of the square feet are dedicated to a homemade skateboard bowl that they have set up in the corner of the room, in the living room, that Steve-O will like go off the ramp and land on the coffee table and stuff like that. And there's these cans of beer from floor to the roof, like they're like pillars.
They're like Greek columns made of PBR throughout the house.
And I watched that and it just really gave me a sense for the type of nihilism that these guys believe in, which is, I guess, just a belief that, I don't know, they're somewhat true to their art and the idea that nothing matters. I saw Steve-O in that, actually Chris Pontius, who lives in his car. I really saw him as like a modern day Diogenes, who really had like no desire for earthly things and was just living off of the idea that the only thing in life that's important is making your friends laugh and laughing at your friends.
Yeah.
I'm shocking your nuts. Living a simple life.
Yeah. The Cribs episode is also great because Steve-O's terrible two-bedroom apartment that he mangled to make a mini skate park inside of is in Los Angeles, where you can skate outside all year long. It's insane. I will go with the Jackass guys not being so dumb. I'll double down on this, where I watched a thing where they were talking about the making of Wild Boys, and Chris Pontius is like, yeah, everyone thinks we're stupid, but this stupid show that I just did like paid for me to travel the entire world and meet new cultures and have experiences with animals that I wouldn't have been able to otherwise.
It paid for the car that I live in. So who's the real moron?
Yeah, you got me there.
So let's talk about the politics of the show.
Actually, Allison, I love the quote that you read about them talking about cancel culture and how they're genuine, messing and laughing with your friends. They never punch down. And I think one of the things that really struck me is that even in their pranks in public, the worst that an unsuspecting member of the public can expect to receive from the Jackass crew is they will feel a little bit uncomfortable. Like, you might get party boyed on. I guess let me nuance what I said a bit. You might get scared, but you won't be mocked by the Jackass crew. In a way that I think someone like Sacha Baron Cohen, he's going to make a whole career out of making people look stupid on camera. And you can argue that the people that he makes stupid on camera deserve it, and they probably sign something. But it's like the Jackass crew, I think, with their interaction with the public and audience, is not as antagonistic as some of the later prank shows become.
I definitely agree. And if we're looking at it, so I was streaming them, and aside from the disclaimer that says, you know, these are professional idiots, don't do this, there was one that said, we are airing this as it was 22 years ago when there were different social norms. They were basically like, we know this isn't cool by today's standards, don't at me, basically.
Mostly
they weren't messing with people or punching down. I did see a couple of like racially based bits, and it was like, it was on the edges of what the bit was actually about.
One of them was
a sumo bit that Johnny Knoxville did, and they had an actual trainer and an actual sumo wrestler, but then Johnny's wearing an adult diaper duct tape around his waist, which felt, you know, it's not using an accent, but he was also maybe just shy of like pulling the corners of his eyes out with his finger, you know what I mean? It didn't feel hateful, and it wasn't too extreme, but of course, by today's standards, they would get some amount of flack for that.
Yeah,
right.
But on the whole, most of their pranks were, they weren't.
Often the pranks on like unsuspecting members of the public, the thing that you're watching, I think, is someone's attempt to be sympathetic. But there's one where Spike Jones is actually pretends to be an old woman, and they have like her, like she's naked, and what happens is she's wearing a dress, and car pulls away, and like then her like saggy titties out or and everything, and the people's reaction is to like run up and give her something to cover herself up with or something. Like, unlike, and I think a lot of like YouTube and TikTok videos where the point of the video is just to antagonize other people, the reaction that most people had in a lot of these stunts was to help the grandfather who's in the wheelchair going down the hill.
The pranks on the public, yes, Jackass elicits the emotions of concern and fear and maybe a little bit of reciprocal shame, but their pranks on the public bring out the best in people, whereas these TikTok pranks, it's like, I'm gonna smash plates in front of my parents until they get angry at me. It's trying to bring out the worst in people.
Jordano, you said something that I want to touch on in regards to what would be acceptable politically today. There's a ton of body shaming, right? But part of the joke about the old woman is like, her tits are saggy. She's no longer a viable member of society. I don't want to touch those tits. Or
any joke with like Wee Man and Preston Lacey.
Any joke with three. And of course, you could argue they were doing it, but still, you know. I mean, it bumped me a little bit today. I am older than I was when I watched that show, and I'm also living in 2022. I'm also living in San Francisco, the most liberal bubble in the entire world. And it's, I can see it and feel it.
affecting my sensibilities.
As I researched for this pod, I have seen listicle takes try and flip this and be like, this was body representation. I have seen that take. Okay. I don't know if I believe it, but
there's so few forms of art that have someone who is in a wheelchair, for example. But like Jackass 2, you know, features a wheelchair athlete who has rockets strapped to their wheelchair.
That's why I snorted when you said it, because I knew what was coming.
Yeah, and who am I to say that they're not allowed to do that? You know, this person's not allowed to.
No, that's a different thing. That feels like just being inclusive to me. I mean, overall, especially for the time, it felt pretty mild, any of the potentially, quote, offensive stuff that people would get their feathers ruffled about.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, so actually, like, before we get into the actual political stuff here, let's just go right into masculinity with the idea of Jackass, because strangely enough, one thing that Ben and I were expecting, we're like, this is a 20-year-old piece of art or movie. You know, the 2000s, you know, we're talking about the Wedding Crashers era.
American Pie.
American Pie. There's going to be some homophobia. There's going to be some sexism. And we're watching, and there's basically almost none. They're never calling each other a pussy or a bitch or a gay. Yeah. It was shocking, actually, to not see any of that.
I was shocked at how well this aged. Honestly, I thought it aged better than a lot of scripted content from the same time.
Oh, God. The scripted content from the same time was just... It's not just that it was offensive. It was just offensively lazy and unfunny. It's like, you're gay. Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah,
right.
That's the entire joke. These men all felt very secure in their masculinity by any standards, and especially in 2001, that they will dress up like a woman and they will be scantily clad and they'll put their dicks on each other.
They're constantly naked. Oh my God.
Okay. These dudes, there's no way that at least two of them didn't fuck.
Yeah, this is Jackass and this is fucking your friend in the ass.
There were at least a handful of times where one of them, I think usually Steve-O and Johnny, are on all fours, kind of, I mean, I guess they were arching their backs because they were getting hit, but like being whacked by sticks of bamboo, and they're like, oh yeah. they're total sub. I was like, with my friend, are you a little bit turned on right now? this is feeling very sexually charged. And it's just like all these boys and probably at least a handful of half chubs.
Oh my God, they are alpha subs. That is what the Jackass crew is.
They're power bottoms. Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple stunts where, like, I think like the most homophobic thing I saw, which by the way, I love describing Jackass stunts in words, because it really just elucidates like how completely stupid they are when you have to describe it. For this one, I think it's probably the most homophobic thing they do, and you guys can weigh in here on like how homophobic it is, but the original idea is for Bam to be at the top of one of those strongman carnival things where you hit something with a hammer and it goes up. And Bam's like, yo, how about I'm at the top and you replace the thing that goes up with a dildo and then I spread open my ass. So of course they get like a really strong guy and he hits a dildo into Bam's ass.
Is that homophobic or is that just anal penetration? Because I mean...
Well, yeah, is it actually homophilic, you know?
It's funny anyway. It's in line with their humor. He's getting bumped in the butt. Maybe something's going up his butt.
The humor comes from the fact that this is not how anyone would like to be anally penetrated.
Yeah, regardless of your sexuality.
Regardless of your sexuality, right. it's really painful. A method thing that we're questioning with here. So I don't know. I think he's just heightening the bit. I do have to disparage our crew a little bit, but again, we can historicize it to make it less bad. But there's an episode of Wild Boys where they go to Thailand and they go to one of these Vegas style clubs where all the performers are transgender women, and there's a bit of transphobia, and it's generally in this form. They're so beautiful until you remember that they have penises and are thus dudes. But
yeah.
In fairness to the Jackass crew, Jon Stewart was making jokes about chicks with dicks in Obama's second term.
Oh no, everybody, that is
such a recent development for that to not be a punchline. And there's still, societally, we are at the bottom of that hill still.
Yeah.
But I mean, the more it becomes accepted, the more angry people get
the greater the reaction.
About the existence of trans people. But
I'm going to put this in only because I think we've made fun of Jordan Peterson in every episode so far.
Yes.
So I'll just try this out. But I'm Jordan Peterson, and this is Misgendering My Students.
Excellent. Yes. we got to keep this streak going.
Every episode.
I love that. What a delightful runner. Yeah, I mean, not like, oh, everybody gets a pass, but yeah, it was bad. People were saying it was strictly I don't know. It's like, it was before it was understood that there's a lot of trans people, and there always have been. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we're shifting our idea of what gender is, which is, you know, a made up thing.
Yeah.
They were just boys. They didn't know any better.
And hey, they still went and had a good time and appreciated the transgender performances, okay?
One of them probably fucked one.
Yeah, almost certainly.
Yeah.
I think Jeff Tremaine implied that in the interview I was saying. So, you know,
really?
Yeah, he's like, you know, one of the guys really enjoyed himself there, or something of that
nature. I mean, obviously, these guys fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, strangely, I actually found that. So at first, we're like, "Oh, this is a bunch of pubescent humor," right? And then I started thinking like, it's actually prepubescent in the way that none of them are really concerned with women or fucking or sex, like, at all. Like, I'm sure they do, but it's not one of the things that they think about. It's like being attractive or like wanting to be attractive to women. I don't know.
At least in the show itself,
I got a very asexual bent from a lot of the show, which is that they're not really concerned with sex.
That's true. I did see one of them at one point doing a little trick and said, like, I'm doing this for women.
Was he humiliating himself?
No, it was just like one of, you know, I'm riding a big wheel down a hill into a tree, one of those, something like that.
So not humiliating.
Well, obviously it's all humiliating, but it's not like,
right.
I've seen boys do so much dumb shit that is ostensibly to impress women. That, or like girls, let's say, because this is kind of a younger thing, like, oh, I'm gonna jump off this cliff and like this girl's gonna think. And I've never been impressed by that kind of stuff. I'm like, you're an idiot. You think this is cool. Your boys think this is cool. I don't think this is cool. I'm not impressed or attracted to you yet. I'm watching all these guys do all this stuff. I'm like, this is hot. I don't know what the difference is.
I mean, I think it's because it's on TV.
I was just gonna say, I'm like, these boys is on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think part of it is like why it makes them hot in your eyes. It's like, one, they're like, I don't know, they're brave. Two, they're, I guess, becoming like somewhat celebrities. And three, it's like the nihilism of it. Maybe it's like the disassociation.
It's an attitude desire thing for sure.
It's like, I don't care, you know, about what I should do, you know?
And
Jack as a masculinity is a very rich vein to tap. I just want to, and this is, I guess, a callback to something we've talked about on a lot of episodes. It's so apolitical. And I guess, how do you make a prank show political?
Look at Borat.
Right. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
There was an intersection of politics and Jackass when Joe Lieberman tried to cancel them.
Yes.
He was running for the Senate at the time, and he's like, this is my platform.
So the bit that apparently drew the ire of Joe Lieberman was the like vomlet sketch where they eat an omelet, vomit it up, and then fry up the stuff they threw up and then eat that.
Well, that didn't air. That's what ended the show.
Right. Damn. That's why they had to go over to like movie format.
But apparently their issue was that it wasn't shown that it was properly cooked to 160 degrees. And they were like, you need to reshoot this with an OSHA representative.
Oh my God.
And that was around the time where they were just getting it from all ends, like the lawyers being like, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, we can't air this because it wasn't shown that the streets were blocked off and all this stuff, it's too unsafe. And then Johnny quit.
Nice.
And he's like, I'm pulling the show. I don't want a watered down version of it. You guys are killing our spirit, but they were under contract still. And that's, yeah, and that's why they did the movie and continued to work with MTV.
An absolute auteur. Big respect.
There's a couple pranks that are mildly political, and you can tell that they sort of declined to go the extra step to explicitly make it political. So I think that, for example, Johnny Knoxville gets shot with these like non-lethal bullets that are meant for protesters. In one episode, they get hit by a mine, which they put outside of embassies to like hurt people who are approaching an embassy. They get tased. Like, there's a ton of stunts centered around things that we actually do to people who are protesting. And you could go one extra step and be like, wow, I can't believe that like the police use this on regular people. And it's in the same video as like a guy with a chicken in his underwear getting chased by alligators. And they don't quite take that extra step to make it explicitly political.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a bit of that bent in it.
And honestly, like what Allison said, when you hear about all they were up against, I can kind of respect, you know, not all art needs to challenge power structures or what have you, especially if it's a Jackass prank show. But I can understand not wanting to rock the boat too much if you're already dealing with a presidential candidate trying to cancel your show. If you're already dealing with people telling you you need the OSHA representatives to watch you fry an omelet, your vomlet, sure, or what have you.
And it's the era, like you said. It's like the 2000s is an incredibly apolitical era. Yeah, it could have also just been an opportunity to like engage in something non-lethal and painful.
Yeah.
Because that's what those things are all designed to do.
Right.
So the other like vaguely political bit, which they tried and cover their tracks on, was in Jackass 2. Remember, it's 2006. One of the pranks is that I believe Ryan Dunn is going to be dressed up to look like a terrorist and complete with like dynamite around his stomach, and you know, he looks like a Saudi person, and he says to the camera, he goes, now this isn't what a terrorist looks like, it's only what like the random bystander will think looks like a terrorist, like I'm only reflecting society back at itself, not creating a caricature. Which is like a cover. At least he offered a cover and didn't just,
you
like
think it was a cover. You don't think he, I mean, I don't know.
But one of the ways that they heighten Jackass 2 a lot is that they have pranks within pranks. And so it turns out that like this thing that he's doing is not the real prank. Actually, they're pranking Ryan Dunn because the cab driver is in on it and ends up like holding him at gunpoint. And then there's a second prank within a prank, which is that the fake beard that they use on him is made up of all of their pubes.
And he at the, I haven't seen that in a long time, but I believe he's like, because he's very upset, you know, he thinks this prank has gone wrong and he's about to be hurt, you know, because the guy like throws him in the back of the trunk or in the back of the car, in the trunk. But then he finds out about the pubes and he's like, you guys didn't have to do that.
It's an incredibly bizarre place to draw the line.
Well, okay, hold on. I have to do a tangent on that of an incredibly bad, weird place to draw the line, because I saw that so much in the show where like they made a pool of elephant shit, 9 days worth of elephant shit, and Steve-O repeatedly dove into it, right? And then it's over, he's showering up, and then they're playing with the poop, and one of the guys like, hey, come on guys, don't throw the poop.
Yeah,
they're throwing it at each other. He's like, oh, come on, you guys. That's inappropriate.
Yeah. There's always those funny pranks where like they don't quite get the reaction that they want, like it's not quite enough, and so they'll just hit each other in the balls, like, or hit each other with a baseball bat after the prank.
Watching one of the extra footage 0.5 films, it's clear that on top of the scripted pranks, they're also constantly pranking each other on set. It seems like torture. It seems incredibly stressful because they just had so many shots of like they'd be doing a little press thing, they'd be seated in plastic chairs or like folding director chairs, and one of the other Jackass guys will come and just kick the leg so hard the chair breaks and he falls in the middle of doing an interview. And there was just dozens of these shots. How do you not walk out of filming a Jackass movie like a veteran from the jungles of Vietnam? Just like at any moment.
There's one more political sort of bent that I wanted to mention, which is when Joe Lieberman tried to cancel them, I think that just made the show better in some way, because it it personified the reaction that I think makes the show so funny, which is like, this is so stupid, right? Like having a square person it makes them angry because it's so, it's not constructive in any way. It's the opposite. It just flies in the face of what society wants you to do.
Yeah.
Which is
like, what is this for? Just for joy?
Yeah. Right. And so Ben and I were joking, like, I can imagine like libs at the time, like, you know, Hillary Clinton's like, why don't they Pokemon go to the polls? You know, like I can just imagine people at the time saying stupid things like, how about they do a I'm Johnny Knoxville and this is cleaning up the side of the highway. It totally subverts the expectations that we have.
Yeah. And speaking of just how much of a square Joseph Lieberman was, he was Gore's running mate. Gore himself, not exactly electric, but he was such a centrist. I don't even think he was a Dem. I think he was an independent from Connecticut who caucused with the Dems, if I remember correctly. But he was such a centrist nothing that John McCain initially wanted Joseph Lieberman to be his running mate, to meet in the middle. And then party people were like, or that's, I guess, that's like a rumor. Who knows if it's true? But part of people are like, you need a Republican and Palin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, this guy believed in so little that the party duopoly thought he could be a VP for either ticket. And he was anti-Jackass. Maybe the only view he had.
I'm John McCain, and this is announcing an unhinged woman as my running mate for president. And I haven't even vetted her. So let's do some closing thoughts. One, which is that, you know, one of the nice things about society now is that like anybody can do this sort of thing. And did you guys ever do any like Jackass style stunts? I know that, I'm sure we've all done like the dairy challenge and like eating a ghost pepper.
You never did any of that shit.
No, I have done both. And what happens, you know what happens when you do both of them? You throw up.
Wait, that... Yep. Yeah, spoiler alert, that's the end of all of them.
Yeah.
It's it was the cinnamon challenge, the one where you eat like a tablespoon of cinnamon and then you go
right, yeah. Right.
And then did you say the milk gallon one?
The dairy challenge, you have to drink a gallon of milk.
And doesn't that kill you if you actually succeed?
I mean, you're Jewish, so it might kill you, but
And
no, you just throw up. You can get through about 3 liters, which is what I did. So in Canada, like milk comes in bags. And so you get a gallon of milk in 3 bags. I got through 2.5 bags, as did my friend. And like immediately just, it all came out.
Yeah.
Did you have diarrhea? It all came out.
I think I did. At that time, like I was like drinking a lot and going out a lot. And so like, I didn't notice any change in the amount of diarrhea that I had. One of the Jackass stunts I did was like, you know, those giant jugs of water that call like you offices have for like the water cooler.
Yeah.
My friend and I had a race to see who could finish. I think it was 5 gallons the fastest. And we were so delusional by the end of it that we both ended up like drinking our own piss because we noticed that it was just like coming out clear. And
you're like, this is only water now.
Yeah, this is like only water. Yeah. And I like tasted it and it was like, okay, yeah, I'm just like eating pure water out.
It's funny because that's like a ludicrously dangerous thing you did. You could like
Water
yourself down to the point that you die. We like to joke on this pod that you're not allowed to say you couldn't make this today when it comes to stuff about like gender humor or like sexism, homophobia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the wild thing about Jackass is that they did make one of these today. Like one of these came out in 2022.
Sure did.
With a gray-haired Johnny Knoxville. But I think in a more interesting kind of sense, like Jackass gets made every day, just worse on social media.
Yeah, just a low rent version.
Yeah, and like even some shows that you wouldn't even call prank shows, I think they need a little bit of that, like Giordano's typology of that pain or shame or disgust edge. I love cooking YouTube, and a bunch of these cooking YouTube shows, their hook is that they are going to cook something crazy. So like Binging with Babish got his start. He's like one of the biggest chefs on YouTube, and he got his start by cooking shit that you see in movies and doing film accurate versions. So he does the Bachelor Chow from Futurama, and to start this episode, he eats literal dog food, like just to like make a point or make a hook. Or he'll do the milk steak from Always Sunny. He'll boil a steak in milk and then he'll try and eat it. So the same kind of humor that we liked in Jackass, I think, has just been diffused across other just forms of media and across like social media, especially.
This was it in like its most purest form.
Yeah, its most purest, joyful form.
The stuff today is more hateful. I saw one where it was just students slapping their teachers and just, you know, being destructive and being little dicks on, like, I don't know. And it's, I mean, it's also, it's uninspired. It's kind of hateful towards other people. It's nihilistic in the worst way. Cause like, okay, you can approach nihilism. It's like, nothing matters. I'm going to be a dick. Or nothing matters. Thus everything matters. I'm going to be a chill person.
I'm going to have fun with my friends. Yeah.
Have fun with my friends. And it's also, it's lost an edge mm-hmm. of that it used to have. You know, nobody's swallowing goldfish.
They lack the courage. They lack the virtue of courage.
Yeah. I don't know if it was, it might have been one of the side, like the less featured, I mean, I guess that's not fair, like the Dave England or Aaron, whatever his last name is, got 25 surgeries from the harm that was inflicted upon him in Jackass, including 9 knee surgeries and a back surgery. And they were just, you know, nobody's going that far today. Yeah. And I doubt these new TikTok kids are really doing that kind of stuff. I'm sure it's more like pranky or, dare I say, cerebral. No, I dare
it. Or they're hitting on that sadism thing too much, where, like I said, like one of the types of pain that they inflict on themselves in Jackass is the pain that comes to you from like hurting innocent people. But if that actually isn't causing you any pain and you're just like a psycho who wants the views, then it's like, it's not funny and it's not enjoyable.
Because... it doesn't hit. I mean, part of the problem is that these guys, as their budget gets bigger, they dare bigger. They don't stop heightening ever. Steve-O's in his 40s and he puts bees all over his dick in Jackass Forever. Puts the queen bee on his dick so that other bees come and
sting. On his bare dick?
Yeah. It's
yeah, because Johnny did the bikini one time, but he had his business covered. He was wearing like little panties.
Yeah. But yeah,
is Bam in the movie?
He is not. No.
Yeah, so I think he got kicked off.
Yes, he did.
Because he broke, I believe he broke a sobriety clause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Steve-O's contract. Steve-O is totally clean.
Yeah, starting with Jackass 3, they don't have beers on set anymore because Steve-O is clean.
Yeah.
He's clean. Steve-O's vegan.
Yeah.
Steve-O's killing it. I'm so thrilled for Steve-O.
Yeah. But the other closing thought that I would say is we talk a lot on this pod about nostalgia. That if it's something that some people remember, you can guarantee it'll get a remake. I'm sorry, none of those TikTok teens are going to get a full budget movie. I know Logan Paul got in a whole bunch of trouble for laughing at the suicide forest in Japan or whatever the fuck, which is very fucked up.
It wasn't laughing at the suicide forest. It was live streaming an actual dead body.
Oh, fuck. I didn't know that. Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they came across the body and were like...
yeah.
He's fuck that guy.
Yeah,
even before that, fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy indeed. But yeah, he's not getting a fucking big budget movie. But if it's something people kind of remember, like that kind of seems to be what our culture is like the nostalgia cycle is dilating. It's getting smaller. Or is dilating bigger? I'm not sure. But that's the wrong word. The nostalgia cycle is getting shorter. We're getting remakes of shit that the last Jackass movie came out 10 years ago or whatever. It's like we're getting remakes of stuff not even from 10 years ago, but from even shorter. And also, as Giordano pointed out, every single piece of pop culture we've touched on so far has some kind of remake in the works in some way, shape, or form, which is kind of wild.
It seems to be increasing, the remake. There was one, and they're rarely good.
No.
But I am such a sucker for it that I will do it. There was one point last year where I was simultaneously watching 3 series that were remakes from 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they were mediocre, but I was all over it.
Yeah, like people like their little security blanket. I think, without getting too fucking dour or whatever, I think life is getting a lot worse for a lot of millennials. The downward mobility, the like sense that you are just materially going to do worse than your parents, let alone like ecological collapse that's coming, or the gigantification of the economy, or the war, or the famine that's going to be caused by the war. Like, you can understand
all the things.
You can understand how people might want to retreat into their youth. And how the people who make cultural products might want to cash in on that anxiety.
Well, it's always about cashing in.
Yeah.
And they know that we're going to eat it up.
Yeah.
Right. So as a closing thought, I just wanted to say that like you can draw inspiration from the Jackass crew. And I have over the last couple of weeks, which is to just start using their format to be like, I'm Giordano and this is texting a woman for a second date.
Bow, bow, bow.
if you ever feel nervous about doing something, you could just be like, hey everyone, I'm Giordano and this is telling my boss I'm taking a mental health day, you know.
Bow, 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 bow. Yeah, man. If Steve-O can literally light himself on fire with jet fuel, you can do the thing too.
If you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough. When you get knocked down, you gotta get back up. I ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know enough to know. If you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough.